Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 13.
Yatendriya paramota,
yatendriya paramota,
brahtratmani pareharao,
brahtratmani pareharao,
vidyante tada kleshaha,
vidyante tada kleshaha,
samsuptasyeva krishnashaha,
samsuptasyeva
Yadendriya paramota,
yadendriya paramota,
drashtatmani parehara,
drashtatmani parehara,
vidyante tada kleshaha,
vidyante tada kleshaha,
samsuptasyeva krishnashaha,
samsuptasyeva krishnashaha.
When?
Indriya,
senses,
uparamaha,
satiated,
ataha,
thus,
drashtra
atmani,
unto the seer,
the super soul,
pare,
in the transcendence,
Harao,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Viliyante,
become merged in.
Tada,
at that time.
Kleshaha,
miseries.
Samsuktasya,
one who has enjoyed sound sleep.
Eva,
like.
Krishnashaha,
completely.
Completely.
Translation. When the senses are satisfied in the seer-supersoul, when the senses are satisfied in the seer-supersoul, the personality of Godhead, and merged in him, all miseries are completely vanquished as after a sound sleep. I'll read it again. When the senses are satisfied in the seer supersoul, the personality of Godhead, and merged in him, all miseries are completely vanquished as after a sound sleep. So there's this susupti word again. Samsuptasyeva krishnashaha. In the purport, Prabhupada is one more time going to speak about the quivering of the living entity. So everyone's heard the quivering metaphor. Purport. The quivering of the living entity as described above, that's two verses previously, is due to the senses. Since the entire material existence is meant for sense gratification, the senses are the medium of material activities, and they cause the quivering of the steady soul. Mind has its role also. Therefore, these senses are to be detached from all such material activities according to the impersonalists. These senses are stopped from work by merging the soul in the supreme, excuse me, the super soul Brahman. The devotees, therefore, however, do not stop the material senses from acting, but they engage their transcendental senses in the service of the transcendence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In either case, the activities of the senses in the material field are to be stopped by cultivation of knowledge, and if possible, they can be engaged in the service of the Lord. So what's been said so far? What's happening here? There's this problem and then a solution to the problem. The problem is the quivering, the misidentification, this fundamental misconception of either the soul is the mind or the soul is the super soul. Those are go either this way or that way. There's a misconception. And the identification with the mind has to do with the same thing as the identification with being God, and that is, I want to be God. So what God's position is he's the Purusha. He's the enjoyer of matter. So what if I think I'm the Purusha or the enjoyer of matter? Then I start trying to enjoy matter as the enjoyer of matter and become conditioned by matter, by the modes of nature and by the urges, the desires to enjoy this and enjoy that, and in such a state one becomes covered and bewildered. And the instrument is the mind. I've had a couple of people in my life whose minds are bewildered. But, you know, like grossly bewildered. But the fundamental thing is, if one mistakes the covering to be the self, this the agent of false ego, thinking, yeah, I mean, what's there a doubt about it? Then that's a problem, because that's not who we are. And then you go the other way. And that is thinking the self to be God. Yeah, I'm the enjoyer. I meant to be the enjoyer. I enjoy being the enjoyer. There's a problem, though. The problem, if I'm an impersonalist, the problem is I'm trying to enjoy through these senses. That's the problem. So I just have to make the senses inert, make the mind peaceful, and then I realize that I'm God. I was God after all. I just was going about it the wrong way. So in the purport, Prabhupada is addressing going that direction, identification of the self, mistakenly identifying the self as being God. And so there's a method of going down that path. The method looks something like, or there's a component for the devotional path and the impersonal path that's the same. Controlling the senses. You can't be God without controlled senses, so you got to control your senses. So they have, in order to get that detachment of this strong urge of sense gratification, being the Purusha, enjoyer of matter, there is knowledge. And by cultivation of knowledge, then detachment. So I'm satisfied in knowledge and detached from pursuing happiness through sense gratification. So I break out of the clutches of pursuing sense gratification through fruitive activity, and I want to become situated in knowledge. I am Brahman. And that's all there is Brahman, so I'm God. I did it. I'm God. In either case, the activities of the senses in the material field are to be stopped. Karma, tyag. It's really simple. You just take sannyas and you're God. Cool. And we got to read a lot. You have to read Vedanta Sutra a lot. And, you know, best if you live in a secluded place and just become God. And if possible, they can be engaged in the service of the Lord. The senses are transcendental in nature, just like we were discussing. The mind is transcendental in nature. But their activities become polluted when contaminated by matter. We have to treat the senses to cure them of the material disease, not stop them from acting, as suggested by the impersonalists. Bhagavad Gita 259. Bhagavad Gita 259. It is said that one ceases all material activities only when satisfied by contact with better engagement. Prabhupada is going to amplify this for the rest of the purport. So, anybody know the verse 529? I know the verse. So you, yeah? Could you hear him over there? Vishaya. Vishaya. Vishaya means sense gratification. Vishaya vinivartante. Nirahasya dehinam. Deha. Dehinam. There's the body, there's the occupier of the body, there's one who thinks that they're the body. For those who are embodied, to refrain from sense gratification, vishaya, it's very difficult. But raso varjam, raso pyasya, param drishtva nivartate. But if one can experience a higher taste, it's very easy to give up a lesser taste. Very easy. It's very... Prabhupada made it very easy for Western people, like, you know, the early people he was speaking to become vegetarian, because Prabhupada's cooking was fantastic. Who knew? Forget that stuff. Let's go to take Swamiji's. And Prabhupada did the cooking. So it was like, wow, let's go get some more of that. And it works. So prasadam should be very nice, and it should be prepared with great devotion, and it's fully satisfying. And so if somebody comes along and offers you some yucky thing, it's not a difficult choice. It's no thank you. But the higher taste is, and so on. The happiness of Krishna consciousness makes it very easy to not be allured by mundane activity. So then he expands on this idea. Consciousness is active by nature and cannot be stopped from working. Artificially, stopping a mischievous child is not the real remedy. The child must be given some better engagement so that he will automatically stop causing mischief. In the same way, the mischievous activities of the senses can be stopped only by better engagement. in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he gets explicit. When the eyes are engaged in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, the tongue engaged in tasting prasadam, or remnants of foodstuff offered to the Lord, the ears are engaged in hearing his glories, the hands engaged in cleansing the temple of the Lord, the legs engaged in visiting his temples, or when all the senses are engaged in transcendental variegatedness, then only can the transcendental senses become satiated and eternally free from material engagement. Wow. Eternally free from material engagement. The Lord, as the Supersoul residing in everyone's heart, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world far beyond the material creation, is the seer of all our activities. So that's this drashtra atmani, this second line. Pare, para. So pare is addressing para, the supreme, so that we don't confuse, so that the reader is not confused by atma ken, and conventionally means the individual soul. But this is to qualify, it's atmani pare harau. So it's the super soul is the seer, and this is described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. Our seeing is made possible because of the super soul. Yes, there's senses, but the senses are not going to act, are not going to be effective without the sanction of super soul. We can't bat an eyelid without the sanction of super soul. So the notion of being independent is a fool's paradise. We can't even see. Even you have eyes, and they work without the sanction of super soul. Therefore, he is the seer. This is such a fascinating topic and an important topic. It's elaborately discussed in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. There are verses in Lord Kapila's teachings to Devahuti and the Srimad Bhagavatam also. That he who is actually doing everything, and oh, by the way, he does nothing, is the Supreme Lord. We can't see. But when he sees, then we can see. The example that's given is the sun. With these eyes, we can't see. But when the sun is shining, the sun sees, and therefore we can see. Similarly, we have senses, but our senses don't work without the Lord's working. So it's he who is doing everything, and we're an instrument. And when he sees, the instrument can see. We're conscious beings. It's really remarkable. It's not like, you know, like say eyeglasses. The eyeglasses aren't seen because there's no consciousness there. But it's not, we're not, you know, the eyeglasses. We're the conscious being. But even the conscious being is dependent upon the Supreme Lord for seeing. And the example that's given follows next. That's the awake state of consciousness. When the covering is removed, there's an awake state of consciousness. So just like after waking up after a deep sleep, if you've been, susupti is the word that's used, samsuptasyeva kritsnasya. anyone had an operation, some anesthesia, you're under anesthesia, you're dead to the world. And then the anesthesia starts to wear off. And then it's like, oh, I'm somewhere. And then you're awake. There's stages. So when you come out of that anesthetized state and you're awake, then that's what's compared to the removing of this quivering condition that is accomplished by A or B. A, the A model is engage the senses in service to Krishna. And then through purified senses, through the process of devotional service, the senses become purified, then they can act spiritually. The body of a pure devotee acts spiritually. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling from Puri, heading for Vrindavan, and Maharaj Prataparudra was accompanying him, or his soldiers were accompanying him for some distance. Wherever Mahaprabhu would walk, people would grab some dust, and there were pock marks on the road wherever he could step, because they were taking so much dust, because it's worshipable where he has placed his lotus feet. Or what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did is established a shrine in some of the places during Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour where Mahaprabhu placed his lotus feet, so it becomes worshipable simply because he placed his lotus feet there. So the body of a purified soul acts, the spiritual senses become awakened, and then one can see spiritually. At the same time, recognizing it's the Supreme Lord that's the seer. When the senses are satisfied in the seer-supersoul, the personality of Godhead, and merged in him, this valiyante, that used to be something else that became valiyante. So valiyante is merged into. So Prabhupada wants us to correctly understand the type of merging unto. It's not the sayuja merging unto, but it's rather the in complete harmony and unity with the will of the Supreme, the oneness of a loving relationship in service to the Supreme, which is confirmed by that interpretation or understanding is confirmed by the previous and the next verse. Tomorrow morning's verse is fantastic. It reads, simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc. of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? So, valiyante means this, devotional service. And devotional service means engaging the senses in service of the transcendence. So it's purifying the senses, the covering, and awakening the transcendental senses, serving the master of the transcendental senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Bhakti Uchite. This is from Narada Pancharatra, this definition of bhakti. Sarva Upadi. Sarva Upadi. Vinir Muktam. Tatparatvena Nirmalam. Upadi means designation. A designation like, you know, I'm American. I'm a Caucasian American. I'm, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those, anything that's in relation, identifying the person with what the person isn't, or the covering. I'm a sannyasi. So Mahaprabhu's teaching is kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kini noy. I'm not a learned personality. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a shudra. I'm not any of these designations. So if you're not any of those designations, then what are you? And then one can get to the real identity, the soul. But the souls are not, the self is not properly understood in terms of designation or coverings. So how to get beyond the coverings? This section is describing that. And then, you know, the disturbances that come from misidentification. We don't like the disturbances, but we like the misidentification. We just like, you know, attached to our misidentifications. What will I do without them? It's like, you know, kid and his teddy bear or something. Take his teddy bear away. He just cries and cries. And you give him his teddy bear back and he's okay. It's very childish. It carries on throughout life. And after life, after life, after life. So, the senses need to be controlled. The senses need to be withdrawn from engagement in matter for the purpose of enjoying. The senses need to be withdrawn. They're not to go there. And so, knowledge is necessary. Same point as in the previous purport as in this one. Knowledge is necessary. Like making a distinction between who we are and who we aren't, and engaging in who we are and not engaging in who we aren't. We can still engage in, let's say, you know, family life. There's some householders here. There's some brahmacharis and sannyasis too, but there's some householders here. So when you're engaging in your family duties, that sense of identity should be in terms of service to Krishna. That's what souls do. We serve Krishna. We can serve Krishna this way, we can serve Krishna that way. But it's not that you're a householder and he's a brahmachari and I'm a sannyasi. We're serving Krishna. We're servants of Krishna. And we're serving Krishna this way and that way. But service to Krishna, that's the essence. And the form of it is appropriate for the temporal circumstances that we find ourselves in, for making progressive advancement towards Krishna. So the final statement here in the purport, our activities must be so transcendentally saturated that the Lord will be kind enough to look upon us favorably and engage us in His transcendental service. Then only can the senses be satisfied completely and be no longer troubled by material attraction. So that's the higher taste. That's the Vaishnava method of controlling the senses. It's the minimally. It's the dovetail program. I have this desire. It matches Krishna consciousness, and so I can do it in Krishna consciousness. That's like, you know, not a very tight fit. That's like, it's really what I want. That's what's important. It just happens to be, you know, look like Krishna consciousness, so I can do it in Krishna consciousness. That's not satisfying. That's not a higher taste. The higher taste is, this is a propensity that I have. Krishna, may you be very kind upon me and accept this service. It's unto you. It's not unto me or unto my senses. It's unto you. Unto you. Then there's a satisfaction, the satisfaction of love and devotion and purification. So that devotional component needs to be awakened and active. Because if it's not, awakened and active, then we're in a difficult position. We're in a quivering position. Prabhupada gives this example. I'll give an end after this. The example of a razor. The razor's edge, it's very sharp, so when it can be used nicely for shaving and does its job. But be attentive, because if you're inattentive, that same razor can not just shave, it can cut your face, and you got blood all over the place. So be attentive when engaging in devotional service. It's not a casual, it's a devotional matter. When performing your duties, it's for Krishna. And whether it's this ashram or that ashram or this thing or that thing, part of our life, it's to be engaged in for Krishna's service. For Krishna's service. And not otherwise. That's the senses that are extended, like the tortoise. You can extend, you can withdraw. Here's some service. Whoops, no service. Some situation that's not for service, so I don't. Senses are withdrawn. Service. And it's, you know, it can go either way, depending upon what's appropriate service-wise. And then the next verse, the hearing and chanting part, that supports the whole process of devotional service and awakens that consciousness of service, loving service to Krishna. Okay, any discussion? Yes.
My understanding of this mind and the senses is like mind is the leader of the senses. So if the mind, like a detachment from the material activities and attachment to the spiritual activities is like a purification. So in that case, mind is becoming transcendental.
The mind, let's just edit a little bit. The mind becomes transcendental, edited becomes, the mind becomes purified, and thus the transcendental nature of the mind becomes restored.
So what is the difference between a material mind and a spiritual mind?
One day we'll find out. See you there. Meet you there. The material, the functions are similar, but the platform is different. The function of thinking, feeling, willing, that's what the mind does in the material. It reflects the spiritual condition. Here's something that Lord Kapiladev says to Devahuti. The mind is the upadhi of the soul. Material mind. So the mind is, we know from Bhagavad Gita, the mind is carrying different conceptions of the self, like the air carries aroma. The air is neutral. The air doesn't smell. The air carries smells. It may smell bad, smell good, but the air is neutral. Odorless, colorless, tasteless, and transparent. But the air can look, you know, foggy or misty or, you know, smoggy or something, but the air is pure. The soul is pure, and the soul has its thinking, feeling, and willing. They're all in relation to Krishna. That's what souls do. Wait a minute, before you ask the next question, you're still doing this one. The mind, when this, the intention of the soul is away from Krishna, the soul is then awarded a mind. where you can think, feel, and will all kinds of things, not in relation to Krishna. So it's a distortion of the soul and the soul's natural position. That's what the material mind is, and its functions are thinking, feeling, and willing. Go ahead. Could you speak a little slower and clearer?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I was speaking about the what?
Last evening class. About the deep sleep.
Deep sleep, okay.
Sleeping and the three sleepers.
Yes, yes.
So I was thinking about the conscious and the mind, the difference between the mind and the conscious. So in the deep sleeping condition.
The consciousness, listen carefully. I'll go slowly. Consciousness is of the soul proper. Consciousness is, the mind is activated. Or, supposing that the mind appears to be like, you know, an entity that we have to deal with, our mind, because it's animated by the presence of the soul. And consciousness is intrinsic to the soul. Conscious, the soul is conscious, and consciousness. That's Prabhupada's statement. So when we speak of consciousness, Western philosophy is mumbo jumbo, but you know, from a Vedic perspective, consciousness is the soul. The mind is matter. The mind is not conscious at all. It appears to be because of the presence of the soul, but it's not. And we identify with it. So, you know, we just buy into the illusion. But consciousness is not the mind. It's a configuration of subtle matter to help us try to think, feel, and will enjoyment apart from Krishna. Go ahead.
So, the soul carries the subtle conscious when one body dies in the soul till it takes the next body. So, it carries the subtle conscious.
I'm listening.
So, does it exist like in the soul? Still the conscious?
You're good try, but the terms are all mixed. Let's go a little. Back. The soul is embodied in a particular body. The body becomes unfit for inhabitation. The soul is ready to take off and go to the next place. The subtle body stays with the soul, carries the soul. The mind, intelligence, and false ego, that's the subtle body, carries the soul to the next destination under the plan of the Supreme. Karmana Daivanitrina. So, consciousness, which is concomitant factor of the soul. It's another expression of Prabhupada. Conscious and consciousness is transported by the subtle body. That's the container, the conveyance, or the envelope, or the thing that moves the soul by the plan of the Lord to the next situation. And then another gross body is developed. And within that subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego, there's memory. Very, very sophisticated database. Memory storage. Better than Bill Gates ever figured out. Stored. And then, you know, it's on a time clock. After some time, those impressions, those memories manifest. And they manifest, if one is identifying in terms of matter, they manifest as material activity. Like a small child that doesn't have sex desire. You know, the clock is running at a certain point, then there's sex desire. Well, where did that come from? It's stored. It's there. And, you know, the subtle body, gross body, work cooperatively to, you know, bring things to that stage. And so on and so on and so on. But the animating factor is the soul and consciousness. This is a Sankhya question. You know, it's interesting for some people and some other people are bored by it, but it's a Sankhya question. What's what? So let's just illustrate by a classic Sataputta example. The red light machine. You know that one? You can make a machine. Vidyabhusan, our god brother, made one for me. It was like really big, and it was in a glass case. And you know, he's a tinkerer, so he got together these. It wasn't just a red light. He made it so there was a wheel with wedges of translucent plastic, so yellow light, green light, red light, blue light, orange light. You move the wheel, you press the button, and the light goes through these translucent things. It hits these light-sensitive wafers. According to the frequency of light, it sends an electronic signal to a printer, and it prints out, I see an orange light. Then he had it, you know, you could read it on a digital little thing, I see a green light. It was fascinating. And people could turn the wheel, press the button, and find out what color it was. So the question is, where is consciousness in this machine? Can you say at what point there's conscious awareness? It's a behavior. But where's consciousness? And similarly, the body. Perceiving the eyes, and it registers in the mind. The mind says, I see a red light. But it's just matter. Where's the actual event of perception take place? The soul. But we're hearing in this verse, it's actually the super soul that permits the soul to see. Even if all the instruments are working. The light's coming, and the lens works, and the eye opens, and the thing hits the retina and sends the signals, and it goes to the brain. Yeah, it's light. It's a red one. Where's the seeing take place? Where's conscious awareness? So, Krishna permits the whole thing. So, consciousness is distinct from the mind. Mind is distinct from the same reverse. Mind is distinct from the soul. Many people identify with the mind. I feel great. And so on. It's just the mind. It's not the soul. Nor is it consciousness. Go ahead. You want to read something more.
Other classics, the Narada, during the night of Brahma, they all go to Yoga Nidra. So the next day of Brahma, they again appear, for example, Narada. So it means that is different from what totally is this material thing. I want to understand what is this Yoga Nidra.
Okay. I want to understand what you want to understand. The question is, what is yoga nidra? Yoga nidra is a state where the souls are, using conventional language, suspended animation. The soul is always conscious, but the state of consciousness is most minimal state. It's like, it's not off yet, but it's like a dimmer switch. You know a dimmer switch? It's at the lowest position, but it's not off. Because the soul is never off, it's always conscious. At a very covered state, the souls are withdrawn within the body of Mahavishnu during this susupti. The yoga nidra is just his transcendental sleep. Yoga nidra. Nidra means sleep. So, yoga nidra. The Lord it's just lila. And during his yoga nidra, the cosmic manifestation comes. And part of the cosmic manifestation is his annihilation. And it's withdrawn. But the soul that's withdrawn is in this susupti state. And then, you know, it's time for activity to begin. So the universes come out again, and the living entities come out along with those universes, and Brahma makes bodies. Are we okay? Are we okay?
So even at the time that mind is with the soul, mind and subtle body with the soul, when it is in the Mahavishnu's...
Yeah, yeah. Until that state when the soul, according to Kapila Dev, the process of bhakti alone dissolves the material mind. What a relief. And then the original state of the soul is restored. The original state of the soul is, there's mind, intelligence, and ego, but it's all spiritual. It's not like a covering. The form is also not a covering, it's the living entity, fully conscious. And so, yes, when in this state within the body of Mahavishnu, the subtle body is also there, mind is also there, false ego is there. But it's not animated because the consciousness is... The Lord's the controller of that condition. Therefore, we can't see without the sanction of Supersoul.
That's the time we don't have any free will.
Huh?
That's the time we don't have any free will, the individual souls.
There's no such thing as a time when we don't have free will. Free will can be larger or shorter, or, you know, more freedom, less freedom. That's according to our covering. Let's say, you know, the capacity for making choices is increased. When we have full freedom. Like Narada, he has full freedom. He can go anywhere, at any time, without any approval. He doesn't need documents. He doesn't need a plane. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need a passport, a visa, or... He just goes. In the spiritual world and the material world. Anywhere, at any time. There's only one purpose, service of the Lord. That's the maximum utilization of free will. But the conditioned soul also has free will. They're just misusing it. And because they've misused it, they're in jail. So their freedom is restricted. But free will is there. And, you know, they can only go within a prison cell. Or sometimes, really bad, they're in a straitjacket. They can't even do that. They're tied down. But free will is still there. Just restrict it. Okay. Yes, Andrew?
I was just thinking that if we are trying to control our senses, but our mind is creating kind of a prison for us because of certain things, and we are trying to break the mind, still, how to...
This must be a very important question because it's a celebration. How to break the mind? We want to purify the mind by engagement in service to Krishna. There's this wonderful verse, Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayo. It's a Prabhupada quoted it again and again. It's Maharaj Ambarish, and he engaged his senses fully in service to Krishna, and thereby he was detached from anything worldly. Although he was enormously opulent, he was completely detached from it because his consciousness was fixed. He started to fix his consciousness by the mind. Savai Mana Krishna. Padaravindayo, upon the lotus feet of Krishna. He was a Krishna Bhakta to the maximum degree. But he began with fixing his mind upon Krishna. So it's not to break the mind, it's engage the mind. Engage the mind in service to Krishna. Vaya Changsi Vaikuntha Gunanda Varnanam. He engaged his speech, he describes, just as Prabhupada does. He engaged his legs in going to the temple. He engaged his hands in cleansing the temple. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity form of the Lord. He engaged his ears in hearing the glorification of the Lord, tongue, and engaged everything upon Krishna. And then it starts with the mind, and then the senses follow, because the mind is chief. This, when it's done properly, and the senses are subordinate. So behind that, the mind has to be intelligence, giving direction to the mind. And that spiritual intelligence, the material intelligence is misleading us. Spiritual intelligence directs us toward Krishna. And Krishna gives that spiritual intelligence. Dadami buddhiyogam tam, yenamam upiyanti te. How to reach him. Krishna gives that spiritual intelligence. Who does Krishna give that spiritual intelligence to? Who knows the first part of the verse? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhiyogam tam. To those who are trying to engage themselves with priti, with affection and love, in service unto Krishna, and satata yuktanam, they're perpetually or striving. I give them the intelligence how they can come to me. And that's what Prabhupada is saying in a paraphrased way in the purport also. If we try, this is how the mind can be, you know, you say broken, but purified and directed to Krishna. Our activities must be so transcendentally saturated that the Lord will be kind enough to look upon us favorably and engage us in his transcendental service. Then only can the senses be satisfied completely, or the mind be satisfied completely, and be no longer troubled by material attraction. That's when we engage our senses in service to Krishna. When the Lord is kind upon us to accept our service, and so that's our prayer. Please accept me in your service. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Going to end there. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Prabhupada swami maharaj ki jai.